is it really sort of a hodgepodge system that we've got going right now in terms of agencies trying to figure out if a position should be classified and if people need a clearance?
Well, there's two issues. One, how do you go about determining if a position does require access to information and thus someone would need a personnel security clearance? And then how often does the agency go back in and review those civilian positions to see if that clearance is still warranted? And I think you described the hodgepodge. We have a variety of practices in the federal government today to make that determination. You mentioned the number of 4.8 million people who held clearances or are eligible to hold clearances. That's a new number from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. It is an alarming number when you consider that it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 4.4 million civilians and military personnel, not counting the contractors that are in the federal government. The Office of the Director for National Intelligence is the responsible entity for providing such policy to help guide the executive branch to make a determination. And since they have not, we find a variety of processes out there, mostly the agencies, DOD and DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, whom we focused on because those are the two largest agencies that have clearances, use the Office of Personnel Management's position designation tool. And what's important to note here is the position designation tool by itself cannot determine if a position needs a clearance or not. The position designation tool determines the sensitivity level of a position, and then that leads to making a determination if a person needs access to classified information. So without that policy, the agencies are pretty much on their own.
Do you think that agency managers who are making these decisions are simply adding people to the security clearance roles because it's just easier for the agency to operate than if too few people are having clearance? In other words, it's a convenience thing.
Well, the agency officials, when we talked with them, again, we did our work at the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security, noted that they did have shortages within their departments in order to go back in and do a validation. However, there's still a lot of money involved in this process. And I think that's what's gotten the attention of so many congressional leaders, knowing that we had a recent report where OPM's reported cost for background investigations rose from somewhere in the neighborhood of a little over $600 million in fiscal year 2005 to over $1 billion in 2011. So obviously, if a position is over-designated, that can cost the government money. If it's under-designated, obviously national security is put at risk.
We're speaking with Brenda Farrell, who's Director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at GAO. I guess it raises two questions to me, well, several questions, actually. But one is that agencies are, there's a big push for them to be able to hire people more quickly. And I'm wondering what sort of deterrent or how slow the security clearance process makes it for agencies when they're perhaps having to vet people for security clearances who perhaps don't really need them?
Well, the effort in the last few years since the passage of the Intelligence Reform and Terrorism Prevention Act of 2004 has been focusing agencies led by the Office of Management and Budget as well as the Office of Personnel Management and the DNI and DOD to focus on improving processing of clearances. And there were very specific goals set out, and we're happy to report for initial clearances, there's been a lot of progress in expediting the initial clearances that one needs. But while there's been clear guidance and targets for improving timeliness, we haven't seen that clear guidance for making a security clearance determination or how often an agency should go back in and revisit if a clearance is still needed.
And do you know how often these agencies are, in fact, revisiting who has clearance and if they're at all rescinding those clearances?
It's a mixed bag. Agencies have a wide variety of practices. Some agencies told us, again, this is within the Department of Defense and Department of Homeland Security, that they had informal practices reviewing a position when it was, say, a person would leave, and they'd review it at that time. There was other cases where an agency had done a one-time review, but, you know, unfortunately, that was several years ago, perhaps 2006. Air Force commanders, by policy, are required to review their position designations annually. So it's all across the board. And again, this is an area where there's much needed guidance. And we made a recommendation that the Director of National Intelligence, in coordination with the Office of Personnel Management, because they do so many of these investigations, the bulk of them, that the Director of National Intelligence require agencies to periodically revisit that clearance designation.
It sounds like some training could be in order here, too, from those two agencies to make sure people follow up, you know, the proper procedures in the first place and also on the follow-up when they review those positions.
Well, that's where the guidance comes in. First, you need clear guidance, and we did make a recommendation, as I mentioned, and the Director for National Intelligence did concur with that recommendation and did note that they were taking steps toward revising the federal code, and they were working with the Office of Personnel Management as well as OMB. And I imagine training will come from that once they have the clear guidance down.